Welcome to the THP Strength Podcast. This podcast is sponsored by THP Strength, the premier jump coaching in the entire world. THP Strength is the single best option for you if you're looking to jump higher, get healthier, and get more explosive. If you're not a bitch, sign up at THPStrength.com.
Because the training is hard.
If you don't like to train, don't sign up. If you don't like to work hard and you want a pill, just don't even waste your time, okay? Because you're gonna have to train, unfortunately. That's the only way you're gonna be able to get better.
Yeah, it's a really sad reality that you have to work hard if you wanna...
To achieve your goals.
To achieve anything in life.
Yeah, it's truly unfortunate for a lot of people that sign up and realize, oh shit, I actually have to do the workouts. You do have to do the workouts to get better. Harsh reality. Anyways, so today's topic will be introduced by Isaiah, but I'll give the simplified question. Go ahead. What were you looking up today?
Is there a point in doing power exercises, or can you just do max strength work and jumping a lot or sprinting a lot?
So basically, why is it, do you want to do the polarizing approach, right? Both ends of the continuums, heavy, slow, really fast, or do you want to surf the curve? Do you want to do all the stuff? I think that both ways can work. I've seen both ways work. I use both ways, but I prefer conjugate. I think for me, I would use track, you know, always kind of as the great equalizer in terms of human performance, because it's so objective and we have a lot more data on it, especially with training, we have a lot more data. What are you doing over there?
I have the research study up here.
Oh, nice, nice. Okay, so if we're just talking about research, I think it's pretty clear that you're gonna get better doing any of those.
You want me to show the results of this research?
Yeah, actually, I'm curious. What does it say?
All right, so...
Can I predict what it's gonna say?
Yeah.
It's gonna show that they all work, probably just different amounts for different things, and that the specific stuff, if you're less trained, strength work's probably the best thing. If you're more trained, the more specific stuff's gonna make you better.
So they had four groups. Control. One of the groups was attempting to do jump squats at 90% of their max.
90%?
Yeah. But it said that obviously
they're
it's impossible
not get
to jump.
The ground. Yeah,
but
right.
It's just to force intent.
Based, right?
Yeah. Then they had one group that was working at a percentage where there is peak power. And then another group, this one was really interesting, is taking into account their body weight.
So relative power? Or relative weight?
So it was like one group was at like 20%. Of their max weight, because they were also accounting for their mass, then the other group was probably at like 60-70% of their weight.
What was the dependent variable?
So, and they all did the same exact routine. They all practiced jumps.
They practiced jumps?
They all practiced jumps, yeah. Every
like
group.
Standing jumps?
Yeah, it was like repeat jumps, I think.
Repeat jumps.
Yeah.
All right.
It was like five sets of three repeat jumps, and then they increased the sets over the course of like 4 or 5 weeks. And then they all deloaded.
What's our subjects? Are they all athletes?
They were all trained. Like, they had experience in training legs for at least 6 months continuously before doing the study.
Okay, that's decent.
Yeah.
Is it double blind?
I forgot what double blind means.
It means, like, they don't necessarily know, the researchers don't know what group, and the subjects don't know what group they're in.
Yeah. And then...
Let me double check on that definition, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Removes bias.
Yeah.
I'm glad we faced this way, because that...
Yeah, that wind would have been...
horrible. Actually, let me move this over here. I am the DSer. Dick sucks now. all right, hold on 1 second. I got to set up my ISOs again and then look up double blind. Jamie, pull up that study on double blind research, okay? All right, double blind... what does double blind mean? A clinical study which neither the participants nor the researcher knows the treatment intervention or intervention they're receiving until it's over. Yeah, perfect. I was right.
All right, so you ready for the results?
Yeah, let's hear it.
What's the results?
Dependent variable? Like, what am I looking at? Vertical jump?
Yeah, we're going to look at
vertical jump.
They tested a lot, though. They tested depth jumps, drop jumps, contact times.
So they did
RSIs.
A lot of dependent variables.
Yeah, yeah. But their workouts were the exact same. It was just different percentages of squat jump.
How many days a week?
Height. And they also all did, I think, 3 sets of 6 squatting.
Interesting.
At a percentage of their max. So they all jumped. they all got the same max strength stimulus. It's just one group had a absolute strength stimulus, working at 90% of their squat max.
Okay.
And the otherwise did power work.
You ready for this? It's going to be specific to what they did. So guys that did the lighter, faster stuff are going to get better at the lighter, faster tests.
So we're looking purely at standing vertical jump. What do you think were the results in the?
I think they all got better. And they all got better. They're probably all significantly different. If they're trained, maybe not significantly different, but they're probably all different. I would assume that the guys that did the most specific training are going to get better at that. So I would say, like, if they're well trained, I would think the lightest movements that they move the fastest, the lighter movements would be more specific, and they would jump better on that.
Yeah. All right. So the 90% squat group, they increase. Can you pull out a calculator here, actually?
Yeah, I got you. Got a calculator, a timer. Why does this feel like it's only 30 seconds? It does not feel like 45 seconds. I'm just getting stronger. All right, go ahead. Next. Go ahead.
All right. The 90% group increased their vertical from 32.96 centimeters to 35.73 centimeters.
So
what's that difference?
32 what?
35.73 minus 32.96.
2.7 centimeters, that's one screen. Inch.
All right, 2.77.
Divided by 2.54 is 1.09 inches.
All right. The group where they did power work, okay, not taking into account their body weight, so they're probably working at like 60, 70% of their max, they went from 38.05 minus 34.25.
So divided by 2.54, 1.5 inches.
All right.
How many subjects were in that group?
11 subjects. The first one had 12 subjects.
Okay.
And then the last group, so they're working at like 20 to 30% of their max. So this is more of a speed strength stimulus. They went from 37.98 centimeters, or I'll tell you the last number, 41.33 minus 37.98.
3.35 divided by 2.54, 1.3 inches.
There you go. And then the control,
they
improved by, I'm actually not sure what the control group did, but they improved by 0.18 centimeters.
0.18?
Yeah.
Oh, so they basically didn't improve.
Yeah.
So they probably didn't train.
Yeah.
I mean, all of those are, that's like... Like, it's, like, negligent. They all work.
Yeah.
Like, okay, first off, here's the thing, guys. You know what 41 fucking centimeters is divided by 2.54? That's a 16-inch vertical. So this is, like, bro, I could fucking have them.
And this is where we're going to go into why I don't like research.
I could have them drink caffeine. I could have them drink coffee, and they're probably going to get better.
Yeah.
They're probably going to test 1.5 inches higher, right? Whether they drink coffee or not is probably more of an indicator, or the setting. I mean, yeah, it's something. I mean, I guess that's good, and it's probably on a force plate, so it's probably more reliable, right?
Yeah.
You know, you're probably seeing, but even that's like a 24-inch vertical.
Yeah.
Like, even best case, they have like an average of like the highest.
Oh, and it's no arms.
Oh,
they tested.
Okay. Probably four. They probably have 20-inch squat jump verticals, or pause squat jump verticals.
So they're probably like mid-20s. Mid to high 20s,
yeah,
depending on their skill level.
Might see one guy at 30, maybe.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. Not good. I mean, yeah, for off-earth, that tracks. So the question, though, is, like, how does this pertain to guys at elite levels, right? And I think you could, like, if you did just this very polarizing approach where it's like, I'm only going to do deadlifts and squats, and then I'm going to jump. Right.
Which I alluded to yesterday.
So you're basically just in a constant max strength cycle.
Yeah.
And you alluded to this yesterday. And what was my response?
Look at guys that have done it.
Yeah.
We got Jay Clark. He did it during COVID. He got his squat to 500 plus.
That's what Dan Back basically preaches.
Mm-hmm.
And like, then, don't do oldies and just get strong.
Yeah.
I think it can work for a little bit. I think your LTAT, your long-term athletic development is going to be hampered. I think you're not going to reach your genetic ceiling doing that, I would assume. because you're on both ends of the spectrum. You never touch anything in the middle, and like you need variety, right? Variety is helpful for long-term adaptation. If you're just doing the same thing over and over and over again, you're going to reach your kind of limits very quickly. You're going to stagnate really, yeah. really quick. You're going to get really strong really quick. You might see good improvements really quickly, but then you're going to stagnate very, very fast. I think that, like, especially Oli lifts have so many benefits outside of just, you know, it being a power exercise. Mm-hmm. I think it's very technical, and you have a lot of stress shortening cycles that happen in that singular weight room exercise that you wouldn't have. I mean, unless you did like a hinge to, like, you start an RDL, it's not the same. I mean, it's just so complex, that movement as a whole.
It's also really so like tough to like.
That's basically what you did when you were in high school, right? You just did strength work and then jumped, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it can work. It can work to an extent. I think back to the track thing, though, or what were you going to say, actually, before we go into this?
I think it's also really hard to isolate what's working. Like,
yeah,
a lot of, we mention this all the time, but.
Was it 80% of what you did or the 20%? Like, how can you know?
Yeah, like, we mention this all the time, but it's like, you can't base your progress based off of what the last cycle was. You have to look at your last year of training.
Yeah.
The stuff that you're doing, that we're doing right now, you know, February, March, is going to affect how we're gonna jump in June, come competition time, right? When I jumped 50 inches in early March, that was the result of the training I did August, September, October, November, December, right? The hypertrophy work I did, the max strength work I did, the overloaded eccentrics, the plyos, right? And I unloaded, all that stuff plays a role. And I used to think, because I would respond really well to max strength work, for example, which in a way, if you think about it, a max strength cycle is kind of that. We still implement some power training and stuff, but it's basically, I get really strong and I jump once a week a lot. Mm-hmm. And I used to be like, oh yeah, that's when I jump my best. But then I ignore, like when I did plyos at the very end of 2022, I did 2 months worth of like power work basically. Now I wasn't jumping that well. I jumped 49, I think, around that time. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, ah, this shit don't work. But then guess what happened in February when I tore my IT band? It's potential. I could have tested 50 plus that day.
Yeah, for sure.
And I didn't think about, oh, wait, 2 months prior, I was doing a lot of power work. Maybe I freshened up from that. Because the month leading up to that was basically, it was a John Evans special type setup that I was doing.
I think too, what you have to realize about any exercise, anything you do with the human body, with biomechanics, right? You start at rest. You get to a velocity. To get to that velocity, at one point, you were at a slower velocity. Meaning, if I'm jumping, right? And I leave the ground with 720 degrees of knee joint per second of knee joint extension, right? That's the joint velocity. At one point, you were going 0 degrees. You didn't just instantaneously teleport to 720 degrees per second. Like, you had to accelerate there, right? Which means you covered each velocity all the way up to 720 degrees per second. So it's like, doesn't matter what you're doing, at some point, you were at rest when you're doing a change of momentum, when you're doing an acceleration, when you're changing velocity. Anytime you're changing velocity, you're going to at some point be at a previous velocity. That's not necessarily true for slower movements, you don't necessarily hit those higher velocities if you're only doing slow movements. So if you're jumping, right, like the reason why you get stronger when you're jumping is it's one point you were at rest.
Yep.
At one point you were moving in a movable object, your body, or sorry, at one point you're moving a body at rest, which is your body mass. Same thing's true of a deadlift, right? Like at the bar's at rest. When you stand mm-hmm. it up, it went from 0 meters per second to 0.0001 and then to 0.002 and then to 0.0. Yeah, that might have happened in infinitesimally small periods of time, but like you still had to cover that velocity at some point. So when you look at like the really, really fast stuff, that makes sense. The problem is like, you know, at what load are you at those velocities and what is the implications of that? So, you know, if you're like a sprinter and you're moving your body weight, you know, you're not moving that at a very high load. You know, if you're doing, now if you're doing a resisted sprint or take it a step further, really, really heavy sled sprints, right? You're moving a really, really heavy mass relatively quickly, and it's different getting there. How you got there is probably very, very different. And so then you have to take it a step further and say, well, what does that mean in terms of the nervous system? What does that mean in terms of the muscles? What does that mean in, you know, for the tendons? And that's where I think things get really complex, because it's like, so what, you're only going to do stuff that's in the velocity range of zero to fucking average of 0.5.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you hit a peak velocity of one in a squat or something like that. I mean, technically you're not even allowed. Technically, you're not allowed to even hit that. If you want to be max strength, you're only allowed to hit like 0.4. Mm-hmm. Like, that's true max strength. So, you know, if you're just like, how are you even going to do that in the first place? Are you like on the early sets? Are you just going to go really slow, like paced? Let's say traditionally, you're probably hitting like 0.7 meters per second, right? Top speed. That's very limited, in my opinion, in terms of what you have access to. You're only allowing yourself to go that fast. Like, that's it. That's all the more you can do.
Yeah.
I think you're missing out on eccentric strength. You're missing out on isometric strength. Like, our
that's what I was going to say is like
even based on concentric strength. Like,
yeah.
What people are really asking is, you're going to only do slow concentric work and submaximal eccentric isometric work, and then you're going to do stretch shortening cycles.
Yep.
Like, you're just missing.
That's what I was going to say is like, with that argument, you're also like arguing against all that stuff. So you're telling me like the overloaded eccentrics didn't work.
You can't
work.
Do that. Yep, those don't do anything. Oh, the ISOs that we did yesterday, those didn't do anything. Those had no role. Depth drops, those don't count. Can't do depth drops anymore, because that's not jumping. Yeah. Right?
The depth jumps. The depth jumps.
60 inch, oh, 60 depth inch depth jump. That's out of the equation, because that's not fast enough. You can't do that. That's gone. That's no longer allowed. Really what they're saying is, why do I need a power clean? Why do I need a hex bar jump? Why do I need a snatch? That's where this argument comes down to, because at the end of the day, like, that's other shit. You'd be like, well, I'm going to include that. That stuff's allowed. But I just don't want to do fucking always. To me, that's really where the argument lies. It's not
and
really
it's like,
in that.
And it's a weird gray area, because the force velocity curve is a continuum. So it's like,
and you can't
at
isolate.
What point, right? So you're doing, you're
muscle
you're
contraction
arguing.
Types for most movements.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Only go from a bottoms up every fucking time? You're going to take arguing, out the eccentric part completely?
Yeah. Like, you're arguing, let's say it's a squat. Let's say it's a 90% squat, which is whatever, over here on the force velocity curve, and then a 2 foot jumps over here. So it's like, at what point are you saying it does apply? Like it does help. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, oh, well, I guess only 100% plus max concentric efforts. That's the only time.
And it's like, are you going to failure?
And that's still submaximally eccentric.
Like, are you going to failure? Like,
so then it's like, well, what adaptation do you get from that, right?
Yeah.
If you only did concentric work, what adaptation would you get from that? Only fucking concentric work, maximal concentric work. It was, hey, we're going to one rep max concentric work today, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to have limited hypertrophy, probably. Your muscles aren't going to get they'll get big initially, but then you're not, I mean, hypertrophy work is technically not at the end of the continuum.
Yeah.
Like, so you can't do that. So it's, again, I'm saying they're picking tail ends.
I think the biggest argument too,
like, they're literally looking at the curve. If this is the split in the middle, they're saying, we'll do everything. We'll even do the isometric shit. We'll do that, right? We'll allow plyos. We'll allow that. I just don't want these tails that are getting close to the ends but aren't quite at the ends, right?
Yeah.
They're taking a tiny sliver out where Ollie's fit, longer plyo contacts fit. They're saying, I don't want to do that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's really what they're isolating.
I think the biggest argument against it, because you can make the argument that, right, 2 foot jumping is filling in that gap, but there is one argument, and that's staleness.
Oh yeah, you're gonna get monotony, training monotony.
Yep, you're gonna accommodate. You're gonna stop progressing. Point of diminishing returns.
And then what
even,
do you do?
Even if there is an argument, let's say there is an argument for it, and it does work, it's only gonna work for a little bit.
At some point, you're gonna have to break through.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the question shouldn't be what's like. At least I don't ask myself. What works? I ask myself, what works the best? What works the longest? What's the most effective, right?
I think, like, the key word is the longest.
Yeah,
like,
the longest. What's gonna take him? I mean, would you have been content being at 44 the rest of your life? That's pretty fucking good.
Look, all I care about, I put this in my Instagram video yesterday. The goal is always to jump higher. Like, I'm not training to, like,
maintain,
reach a certain vertical. And then I, like, stop, and then whatever, I maintain or jump moderately high for the rest of my life. Like, I'm trying to see if I can keep improving and for how long. Like, can I be 35, 36 year old and then PR my vertical?
I would love
like,
that.
Like, still, like, that. That's...
Can you imagine if, like, every year or two is, like, half inch to an inch?
Yeah.
Like, shit, let's even say even every 2 years.
Even
let's
if it's every five. 2 years. Even if it's five. Let's say I'm stuck at 50.5.
An inch every 5 years.
I'm cool. Yeah. I will train, and I will
at
train 45, my balls
45, you're jumping 53 inches. Yeah. What? That'd be crazy.
Yeah, like, that'd I'm cool with that. Like, I'm that's what I'm training for, and I don't think doing max strength work
I mean, dude,
and jumping.
At, again, you look at track, I think, as, like, a continuum for this.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me get this straight. You're an old – you go through each of those events. You're a sprinter. Fuck, you might as well just sprint. There's some guys that just do that. There's some guys that just fucking lift heavy and sprint. There's some guys that do that. There's some guys that do conjugate. And each of them have their reasons for why they're doing what they're doing. And people have gotten fast doing all three of those methods. Like, you look at Carl Lewis, pretty much didn't touch a fucking weight. Just sprinted, right? Usain Bolt did kind of everything. He lifted, not well. Sprinted a shit ton. Yeah, he's the fast guy in the world. He's also 6'5", whatever else. You look at Asafa Powell. Mm-hmm. He does cleans. He lifts heavy, like stuff like that. You look at Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson basically just lifted a fuck ton of weight. I don't even know if he really cleaned. He did. He did vertical integration, so he did some. But, like, Ben Johnson was a freak of nature. And if your argument is drugs, a lot of sprinters are on drugs.
I also don't think you can make an argument. Genetics play such a huge role
well,
that you can't make
so
an,
tough.
You can't make an argument, like, this guy's faster, so his training was the best. The question is, what could he have changed?
How much faster could he have been?
Exactly.
Like, you if can you trained smart.
Take T-Dub.
Yeah, exactly.
You could take T-Dub, because he's one of the few guys that I would say, all right, Porter Mayberry, even better example. Right. Porter Mayberry, one of the only guys that I've seen consistently. I used to time all his jumps. Consistently would get one-second flight times. One of the few guys that I think legit had a 50-inch vertical if he would have tested on a Vertec. Guess what he was doing, what his training is. You can Google this.
What did
he do? He jogged. Every day.
Jogged every day and jumped.
So, all right, he's top five highest jumpers of all time.
Go jog every day.
Go jog every day and let me know
Let me know how your vertical let me know what happens to your vertical.
Yeah. And then another example would be...
We should do that with you. We'll have you jog T-Dub. Every day. We'll have you jog every day and then jump.
No, T-Dub is another example.
Yeah, what did he
Another do? Guy that probably would have tested 50.
What did he
all
do?
All right, go drink a six-pack of beer every day and smoke cigarettes and then go have a dunk session.
Or hoop.
Or play basketball.
Yeah. Let me know how you're vert.
Play basketball 7 days a week and then, like, try to dunk in games as much as you can.
I think the best thing would be, like, imagine, ask yourself, what if you did their methods?
Yeah.
How much fucking worse you would get.
Like, and that's why I
or
think...
Or if I did that, how much worse I would get.
Yeah.
That, or injured.
That's why I mean, we do have a crazy bias for THP, but... We're the only guys that have consistently made elite guys better. And then using me as a case study, I'm the only guy that has consistently jumped higher and higher.
And broken the world record.
Yeah.
You have the fucking
It's like not
world
only
record.
Am I jumping higher than everybody, I'm also improving it. Like go and
wait
try
until,
to
I
find
can't
somebody.
Wait till you get to 51. When you get to 51, we're going to look back at this and be like, fuck you guys. Fuck you guys. We did all the power work. We all. And to me, Mike always used to say, he's like, leave no stones unturned.
Yeah.
What do you want to? Why are you going to leave those stones unturned? There's potential gains under that stone, but
because you're still
going to
get stronger.
You don't want it.
That's the thing is we're still touching on that side, on the four side of the curve.
We're not doing that stuff.
So we're still going to get stronger, and then we're still going to be jumping. We're just not leaving that stone of power unturned.
Yeah. It's like
might
I'm
as well.
Okay.
Might as well.
I'm okay with the lower genetic potential, or I'm okay potentially. Yeah, actually, you might lower your genetic potential by not doing it. Because you never touched it, so you'll never know what your ceiling is.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay not doing that because I'm just okay being average. Go ahead. Be okay being average. Why are you even watching this? Because this is not for people who are okay being average. This is for people who want to absolutely push the limits of human capacity. We want athletes to be freakier than they've ever been, want to be stronger than they've ever been, look freakier than they've ever looked. We want guys to walk out of our training looking like fucking DK Metcalf. Like, just being an absolute unit, which is kind of happening to Isaiah at this point. It's kind of fun to watch. Like, that's the goal. But we want them to be capable athletes, too. We want them to be not just, like when I see a lot of these general strength conditioning programs, it's boring as shit. I'm like, so you're kind of, like, good at everything, but you're not really great at anything. Yeah. Like, you're not perfect at Ollie's. You're not perfect at sprinting. You don't have the highest vertical. Like, to me, that's why I love dunking, and that's why I love what we do, is it's like we are trying to make you as freaky as possible in all avenues. But on top of that, we're going to make you an outlier in this specific one, right? Yep. Not only are you going to be better at everything, but you're also going to be even more of an outlier in this far thing that's like, you know, probably the biggest crowd-pleasing athletic movement you can do, which is fucking propelling yourself.
What's funny,
50.5 inches into the air in his case.
Is if you want to be an outlier while doing our training at some other thing, is just do that thing more.
Yeah, true.
Like, I could go out, stop dunking, and then just start sprinting with our training.
Yeah.
And just start sprinting. Because I was,
like Kimmy.
What Chad, like Kimmy, Chad Kingy. Chad Kingy actually asked today. He said, oh, how would you train, like, a 1 foot? Like, if someone goes to your training and, you know, there might be different tendon stiffnesses, like, how would you train someone differently? And then I told him, I was like, generally, it's going to be everybody's going to benefit from surfing the entire force velocity curve. It's just that some athletes are going to jump higher with different cycles because they're more specific to them.
You need to know when to put those.
And then by practicing your specific jump style or whatever athletic movement you're doing, now you're checking that box of specificity in that, and you're going to improve at that specific thing. So, sure. Like, for me, for example, plyo serve is more general work. Somebody else.
We think.
Yeah, we think. Don't. Now we're they starting to not. Think that they it might not. Be more specific. For somebody else, they might respond differently to plyos, and it's either more specific or more general, but you will benefit from, if you're trying to increase your explosive strength, surf the whole force velocity curve and practice your sport or movement that you're trying to improve at.
I always use crop cycling as an example. Yeah. If you only wanted to cook, like make corn, you wanted as much corn as possible, just go plant corn in your field all the time. All the time, just only plant corn. And you know what's gonna happen? That shit's gonna probably die, or it's going to produce shitty corn, or eventually, yeah, maybe initially you get a lot of corn, but then once your soil's just absolutely ripped of everything, and this illustration, or I guess analogy in this case to jumping, okay, once you're stripped of all of the biological adaptation you've gotten from just jumping, only jumping, right?
Accommodation.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do then, right? You're at the end of the continuum. Your body has no further reserves for muscle adaptation, has no further reserves for tendon adaptation, has no further reserves for neural adaptations, because there's no overload. There's no fucking progressive overload. So what are you gonna do, right? Once your soil's stripped of all its potential, you're donezo, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think, like, to do that other stuff, even if it seems relatively non-specific, it still has a purpose, right? It's replenishing the field, right? You're planting another crop so that you can benefit when you do get your corn back. You get the best fucking corn of all time. That's why you need training to be cyclic. That's why you have to have progression. That's why you have to have variety and individuality, and all these other training laws have to be applied. And I think it's like always comes back to that, but a lot of people don't know how to do it better than anyone else. Yeah. It's like cooking too. Everyone uses salt. Everyone uses pepper. Everyone uses meat or vegetables, but how you put them together.
And the thing is,
makes a masterpiece.
You can make an argument. So like there's like a continuum of like, I guess like how you overload and stuff. Cause you could go starting strength method, 3x5 every workout,
five by five.
To add 20 pounds each workout. Eventually, you're gonna reach diminishing returns. Then, you could vary the overload, right, with intensities and volumes. But then, even then, that has a point of diminishing returns. Like, you could back squat as your only workout, and, you know, vary the volume, go high volume to high intensity. But at some point, you have to play around with pauses, overloading the eccentrics, and then at some point, you have to change the exercise complex that you're using, like.
It's another one too, is like, so what, we're just gonna ignore fast eccentrics in the weight room? Not allowed to fucking do them anymore. It's not fast enough, not allowed to do it. Okay, cool, drop squats out of the equation. Drop RFD, RFEE, R.
There's another argument for power cleans.
That's what I'm saying.
The catch.
Like, oh, not allowed to fucking do that anymore. Like, it's just, to me, it's, you're just missing so many other potential ways to adapt. And I think, like, when it comes to sprinting and stuff like that, some of the most robust sprinting programs that I've seen, like, they start general, you know, they do all that stuff. Later in their progression, maybe they do a little less power cleaning, or they do a little less power snatch, or they do it for a shorter period of time earlier in the season. They don't not do it, but they don't do it as frequently, or they don't do it as close to competition. And every athlete's going to be different. And then as they get older, those windows become smaller, the volumes of that stuff become smaller. And that makes sense. That's what you want to do, you know? And I think, like, they need to sprint more because it is a more sensitive metric, and it is faster. And the limiter is not necessarily the low speed acceleration, so they don't need to focus on that stuff. Early on, that's what took them from running a 14-second 100 to getting down to 10, you know, or whatever, 11 seconds. But what took them from 11 to 10 might be different. They still need that other stuff. It doesn't mean they don't do it, but now the focus is more on max velocity. Now we need, you know, accelerated overspeed max V work. We got to work on tendon stiffness in the lower leg to a higher degree. We need to work on hip RFD flexion extension stuff. We need to work on eccentric strength of the hamstrings. Like, the limiting factors for them going from, you know, 10.2 to 10.19 are become more narrow. The reasons why become more narrow. And so they have to focus on those reasons for more of the year to get them to go from 10.20 to 10.19 or 10.19 to 10.18. And the same thing's true of him. Like, for him to go from 50.5 to 51, I mean, we're still kind of experimenting, but it's narrowed down, right? He doesn't need to do as many of the general days as I had a lot of the other guys doing later in the year. Does that mean he doesn't need to do upper? Does that mean he doesn't need to do med ball circuits or core work or anything else? No, he probably still would benefit from that, right? But I'm not gonna have him do that stuff when we're a month out from when he wants to break the world record in his vertical, right? And so I think it's like, we still would do that stuff if he wanted to. He just fucking hates it. or like his back squat. We talked about this one a lot. His back squat has gotten to a point where, again, that's a narrow, we're narrowing the focus on what matters enough to get him to 51. But if he stopped back squatting, he's fucked. There's like, or heavy squatting in general, yeah. He's probably gonna have a really hard time getting his vertical any higher because that's such an important staple, you know? And I think, like, same thing's true. If I just said no more power cleans, I think it would be really, we'd be hard pressed to get him to improve, especially when we start getting into faster power cleans at lighter weights and stuff. Like, it just limits you so much in the amount of physiological overload you're able to build up in the system. Mm-hmm. And like I said, if we wanted to take this even a step further, why even do max strength work? Again, we're narrowing it down. The only thing that matters is, you know, the very specific adaptations that happen in jumping. Well, so what do we even need to do strength work at all? It's so slow. I mean, we might as well not even fucking do it. And we're only that slow for a fraction of a second. So, I mean, we might as well just do the fast stuff. But the thing is, those are all limiting factors in him getting better when we're looking at this big long-term outcome. If he doesn't do any of that stuff, he doesn't hit 51. He doesn't hit 51.5. He doesn't hit 52. Because to do that, he's got to be stronger than anyone else in the world. He's got to be more powerful in all of those aspects across the entire force velocity curve. And he's got to do it. He's got to do it negatively on the eccentric, and he's got to do it isometrically, which we're working on now. And he's got to do it concentrically. He's got to be better across the entire fucking thing so that there's no question that when he goes to dunk camp and tests 52 and people are like, oh, it's genetics, or 51, it's like, nope. Like, genetics probably would have got him to 43, I think. Maybe, yeah. No, 42, 40, 43.
Yeah.
And then injured. That was what genetics got him. But if he didn't train smart, I don't think he ever gets to higher than that. Like, I mean, you trained with medium... I would say higher training IQ than most people in the world when it comes to jump training before you started getting into the science.
I mean, I essentially was doing...
That, polarized that, training.
I was doing max strength work and jumping a lot.
And you did follow a periodization on it. It wasn't great periodization, but you still had periodized plan for at least a period of time. So I think it's like... Yeah, I mean...
You know what it...
Keep doing that? You know what happens? You just get hurt.
Or you stop improving.
Or you stop improving. Yeah. I mean, that is what happened. Or both. How long were you stagnated at that point?
Plateau. I mean,
Either injured or your vertical didn't go up.
A max probably of 44 inches on my vertical. That was probably the highest I had ever got to.
What year was that?
2016. And then...
So you stagnated for 2.5 years.
And then I stagnated literally between like 40 and 44. I was just...
Up and down between
in that range, and then getting hurt, getting a little bit healthier, getting hurt for literally two years.
And then we started training.
Then got healthy, started training. And in two years went from 40, what did I tell? Yeah, 44 at dunk camp.
Did you even test 44 at dunk camp? Or was it 43.5?
It might have been 11.8, whatever that is.
Is that what you touched?
Oh, it might have been 43.5. Or it might have been 11.9 and a half. It might have been like 44.5 that I tested.
if the vertex isn't leaning and we measured it and everything else.
That's another thing.
I don't know about that.
So maybe, taking into account vertex leaning.
Let's call it 44. Like we'll call 40, I think 44. But it's before 43.5 and 44.
So
five.
It went
average,
from
say 44.
Fluctuating from 40 to 44, no improvement in 2 years, to in 2 years, 44 to 48. Then in 2 years, 48 to 50.5, possibly 50 if the vertex was leaning.
To now 50.5.
From 50 to 50.5, 51, somewhere in there.
I think,
a year of being hurt.
Yeah.
I blew my leg up.
I don't want to take the blame for that. I told you it was bad. I don't get it.
But what I was going to say is I think the argument, this argument even exists because of laziness.
Yeah, it does.
It's easier to program like that. And
you don't have to be as smart. You don't. It's less
complex.
And it's
also easier to train.
Yeah.
You just go in, you know what you're doing.
Fucking deadlift, squat, leave.
You can be lazy. It's laziness. I think that's why the argument exists. Because it does work, but not as well.
And it's simple.
I'm going to add that. It doesn't work as well, but it does work, and it's simple. And
that's what people want.
Yeah.
They don't want, I mean, I want the best.
That's what I want,
too. I want the best. I don't want, like, fuck that, dude. When I was in high school and I wanted to get a college scholarship, I wasn't like, I needed to jump 6'10 to get a scholarship. So good wasn't good enough. I was only jumping 6 foot, you know, and I was stagnating. And I was like, I need the next thing to take me to that next level to jump higher. And then I went from 6 foot to 6'4", you know. I didn't jump my senior year, but like, even applying all those principles, like if I had gone from 6'4", I needed to go to 6'4", even 6'5", is a better chance of me getting a better college scholarship, you know, in high jump in that case. So like, for me, I needed that. I needed the very complex stuff and the best option. I didn't need good. I needed the best. Good got me good. It didn't get me great. It didn't get me the best. And I wasn't happy with where I was. So I think like, I don't think most people are going to even reach 40 doing strength work and just jumping.
Yeah.
Like probably not, you know, especially because if that's your mindset, you're probably just going to quit. Honestly.
You have to have a mindset of,
like, look
I
at
want...
Nathan George.
Yeah.
Gets better every year. I never thought in my life he would achieve what he's achieved. And he is infinitely better than I ever could have imagined, honestly.
Look up Nathan George dunk on YouTube and then just watch his progress.
Yeah, it's insane. I can't wait till he's big.
But yeah, your mentality definitely needs to be, I need to train as best as I can. I need to make the most progress I can. That to make long-term progress. If you don't have that mentality, it's going to be like a year or two thing and then you're done.
Yep, 100%.
So having said that, if you want the best, go to thbstrength.com.
Yeah. If you're okay being average, go to...
Just don't even go to the website.
I was going to say, if you're okay being average, go to these.
I don't even
want to
train you
location.
If you want to be average.
Average is not what we like. All right, that's see how long that was. That was 40.